Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Good morning. Welcome. It's The Fan Early Morning Show. My name is Nicholas Arikeles on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. The Fan Early Morning Show for the average Joe. And when the average Joe wants to shop like a pro, the average Joe can go to CJR Wholesale. It's a sponsor of The Fan Early Morning Show this morning. And every morning, actually, for that matter. But welcome. It's good to be with you. Going to be talking sports with you this morning. It's good to know that baseball is just getting closer and closer with every passing day. The regular season. We've got spring training right now. And last game the Pirates played, they won 6-5 against the Toronto Blue Jays. Matter of fact, three Pittsburgh teams won yesterday. Now, the Steelers aren't playing. The three other teams we like to talk about, though, unless you count Pitt football as a different team. But Pitt men's basketball won. The Pittsburgh Penguins won. And the Pittsburgh Pirates all won yesterday. So that's we love to see that. Pirates a little less of a consequential win, right? Spring training, still exhibition time. The Pittsburgh Penguins, the next less consequential. The only reason that that game was important at all was because it's the regular season. Might be too little too late for the Penguins, though. It's going to be interesting to see. We'll talk about that a little bit. What the Penguins may do with Jake Guentzel and how they're going to approach the trade deadline, which is coming up on Friday. So there's a lot to look at with the Penguins and a lot to like analyze about them. I mean, yeah, they won a game here, but their three-game losing streak over the weekend, That might have been such a determining factor. Like, you felt like they were creeping back. I mean, they beat the Canadiens, they beat the Flyers, and you're like, you know, then the Canucks, and you're like, yeah, okay, maybe. And then they just, you know, they whitewashed that three-game winning streak with a three-game losing streak. So we'll talk about that. You know, I'll go into more depth. I'll complain about them. So we'll get there. The most consequential win, though, from those three teams was Pitt men's basketball. Pitt men's basketball beat Florida State 88-73 yesterday and had a pretty good lead, pretty solid lead all throughout. The game was never really in doubt from halftime on, so good for them. And a very interesting story. This one going to send shockwaves. Pitt got some help. Georgia Tech, 7-12 in the ACC. Georgia Tech beat Wake Forest at home the other night. What? I mean, so Wake Forest had not lost at home. They're 15-1 now at home. They had not lost at home before losing to Georgia Tech. And now Wake Forest, who was in prime position to, you know, keep that pace with Pitt, Syracuse, and Clemson, they're 10-9 now. They're seventh in the standings, which means that if Pitt wins this weekend, if Pitt beats NC State, Pitt will be guaranteed to finish above Wake Forest. It's shocking. Georgia Tech, 7-12, and they're 4-8 on the road now. They were 3-8 going into that game on the road. And they're on a three-game winning streak, too, which might mean that they're hot, but, like, man, that's the biggest story. Now, Pitt beating Florida State, they did their part in that case. But then Georgia Tech coming through and helping out. And now it's going to be a really exciting finish to this season and to go through the ACC tournament. So we'll see, but I mean that's probably the biggest story. Not too much to talk about with it, but that's the biggest story of the day is that Wake Forest lost to Georgia Tech, and Wake Forest is now seventh. Pitt's listed as fifth right now in the standings with two wins in a row. One more game left in the regular season. Pitt this weekend, again, playing NC State, 7:45, the Peterson Event Center. Last regular season game for them. So we'll see. I mean, Pitt, UNC's leading the standings, Duke second, Virginia third, Clemson fourth. So a lot to look forward to. It doesn't look like Pitt's going to be able to catch UNC and Duke. They could tie Virginia with conference wins, and then tiebreakers will exist from there. Clemson could also win. Virginia would have to lose, though. Virginia's already at 12 wins. But, I mean, it's interesting. Hopefully the Peterson Event Center is packed. I encourage you to go out because it's going to be an interesting finish to the season. Them winning every game possible is important. And if they could finish, top four, top three in the standings based on where they were to start January, I mean, it's just a huge story for them to be able to come back and figure it out and not give up. And they had some hiccups here and there. I mean, if they beat Clemson, this is a different story, but I can't really go backwards in time anymore to focus too much on that. The position that they're in, especially with Wake Forest dropping a huge game at home, it's just that's something I can't quite get over. I think it's amazing. I mean, that's the biggest, again, that's the biggest story coming out of men's basketball in the ACC is Wake Forest losing and Pitt now in prime position to at least be top five, but who knows? Where they were to start the year was rough. So for them to be where they are, it's just I can't give them credit enough for that. So we'll just see how they do this weekend against NC State. NC State 9-10 in conference. They're 4-6 on the road. So we'll see. You're welcome to call in at all this morning as well, 412-928-9370. You can give me a phone call, get a line, talk about anything you want as it relates to Pittsburgh sports. I'm going to try to stay away from the Steelers because I'm just kind of hearing too much quarterback news and I can't follow it all myself. If you want to call and talk about it, you're welcome to, but I know it's been a controversial subject on the station and there's a lot of news and I don't have to step back and get to that. I mean, we could talk about plenty of stuff, but if there's anything in particular you'd like to bring up this morning, any opinions you have, if you agree, disagree with me, if you have anything that you want to bring up that I haven't, you're welcome to have a conversation. That's what we're doing this morning and every morning that I'm on here at 412-928-9370. You can also talk to me on X at Callas_33 is my handle. That's Callas_33. You can tag me in a post. You can mention me in a post and, usually I respond to those in written form, but if I find one intriguing enough, I'll read it on the air. But you're welcome to talk to me again on Twitter or on the phone lines, 412-928-9370. So moving on from Pittman's basketball, the next biggest story coming out of yesterday was that Paul Skeens is officially, he's not going to make the Major League roster. According to Ben Cherington, that report came out yesterday afternoon. And I hate that as a fan. I mean, I'm not surprised by the decision. Like we figured that was gonna be the case. I mean, he's got what, six and a third innings of professional ball under his belt. Like he pitched a little bit of rookie ball last year and then making it to Double-A. Now we're in the moment we all feel differently. And I guess to bring up the Steelers a little bit, when they're making the playoffs and we're singing, here we go, Steelers, or when we're singing, Pittsburgh's going to the Super Bowl, right? That song, Steelers song, you're in a different feel, like, because you want to live in the moment and, you know, you want that instant gratification of them winning and making it. So it's like, it's fun. I think it's the same way when you watch Paul Skeens pitch. Like, you saw him go through the minors last year, and you're like, oh, yeah, bring him up. Bring him up to the majors this year, right? And, you're thinking, maybe thinking a little bit, not necessarily irrationally, but just like, you know, you're just too excited, right? You're on the, you know, you're on the adrenaline of him actually doing the thing. And then he gets lit up in one of his Double-A starts. And so that's, you know, that's it for his season there. But then now he's pitching well in spring training. I'm ignoring the home run he gave up the other his other start there, but overall he's been lighting it up. He's throwing with a high velocity. He's developing a pitch that's combining a sinker, slider, splitter, something And so, you know, you watch him pitch, and I'm a little bit on the adrenaline high there as well, even though I think that, you know, we should all understand that he's probably not quite ready for the major leagues yet, and it would be good for him to develop in the minor leagues a little bit more before he comes up to the majors. The thing I don't necessarily like, though, is that a part of me does wish, though, that Ben Cherington would have waited until the end of the regular season. Not the end of the regular season, the end of the spring training schedule to make that announcement. Because at least it gives you some false hope in his fans. Like, you're holding on to the edge of your seat a little more than you may have been. You know, but now that we know that, it's like, how important are your starts in spring training to us as fans if we already know that he's not going to make the roster? I think that just it ruins the anticipation a little bit. No, give Ben Cherington credit. He's being transparent with us. He's not trying to provide us with false hope. And in a world where all impulses rule, I would love for him to be on the major league roster to start the year. Hey, you know, Cherington not telling us anything. I don't think we all didn't anticipate that Skeens would start the year in AAA. I just, you know, it just feels like his starts are going to mean less. And they're going to mean a lot to him, I'm sure, for development. I'm not saying that either. I just think we as fans are going to look at that and be like, ah, darn, you know. It doesn't matter how well he does and however many starts he has left before they send him down, but eventually they are going to send him down, so it's like, these starts are just for development. He's not fighting for a roster spot anymore. You know, darn. 412-928-9370, that's the phone number. Got a caller on the line now. Good morning, what's your name?
Harry Callis, this is your boy Vic. What's
Hello!
Going on, man?
You know, talking about sports.
Yeah, I hear you, man. Hey, listen, you know what? I want to talk about off of the Skeens deal.
All right.
Like, a couple of your guys the other day were talking about Sean Payton and Russell Wilson. And I kind of took it to heart. Not that I care about either one of them, but they said Sean Payton is the greatest coach ever, da-da-da-da-da. He didn't really call him the greatest coach ever, but he was just this amazing coach. And Russell Wilson is garbage. His teammates hated him. And I called in and I asked, I said, how is it that you can say his teammates hated him just based on what you're hearing and what a scumbag he is based on what you're hearing? Come on, man. And then I said to them, I said, if Russell Wilson is so bad, how many Super Bowls have Sean Payton won? Just one. How many has Russell Wilson won? Just one. However, Russell Wilson would have won two if old Pete Carroll hadn't made that big head decision and just given the ball to Marshawn Lynch. But there's no way they can say Peyton is just this great, great, great coach, and my man is just garbage, because he's not, and I could care less. And I think if he came to the Steelers would be so much better. And then one more thing, Harry, real quick, bro, because I love to talk to you, as you know.
Yeah.
They said that is the greatest defensive player in modern-day history. Now, listen, T.J. Watt's a great player. There's no doubt about that. But to me, Aaron Donald right now is the greatest player in modern-day history for two reasons. One, Aaron Donald plays defense. And T.J. Watt plays defense. Anybody play defense, really, not to the level of him. But Aaron Donald is a defensive player. And what I mean by that, he's all over the field. He's being blocked by two or three people, and he's just a good guy. They're both awesome players, but there's no way T.J. Watt is a better player than Aaron Donald. My man, I love you. I love to hear you on the radio. It makes my day, and, you know, you have a great day, Harry.
Thank you, too. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it. That's what we do. Well, I'm glad to make your day good at 5 in the morning, so that's good. I appreciate the call. That's good. Starting the day off well. Talking about sports here. Aaron Donald better than T.J. Watt. It's close. That's all I'll say. I like them both. They're both good guys. So, I never really thought about comparing the two directly, just because the Steelers don't see the Rams very often, just being different conference teams. So, but I guess I'll touch on the Russell Wilson thing just slightly. Not happy to do that. But it is interesting. They just heard from an insider, and they talked directly to him. I think you might have talked to the PM team. They were the ones that really brought this up. It just seemed like, Matt Cole, actually. Matt Cole talked over the weekend when he was on, and he talked to one of the insiders, and one of the insiders then told him. So actually, it was different. It wasn't usually the PM team talking to the hot guys, but Matt Cole. Folsy, shout out to him, doing his weekend shows here back on the Fan now. But he was talking to one of the insiders who said that, like, that Russell Wilson wasn't reading the room well and that he wasn't a good teammate. And it makes sense, like, because Wilson was keeping this really immature optimism about the season, and he wasn't, like, he was just kind of talking, like, oh, yeah, we'll be fine, you know, let's ride, we're the Broncos, but, like, the team wasn't doing well. And so, not that his teammates absolutely hated him. I don't think that was the story to come out of anything. I just think that, his teammates just thought that he was like tone deaf to, the atmosphere that surrounded the team at the time. Like when they weren't winning, and he was still like, "Let's ride. I'm Russell Wilson, and everything's great." I would get frustrated as his teammate too to have that happen where, like, you know, if somebody was just coming out and seemed like they were mocking the slogans or the chants of a team, I would, not that he was trying to mock them either, but, you know, like, let's ride was not the, a couple of years ago was not the motto, or it was not the saying that they needed to hear. They needed to just win more and play better, and they weren't, and he was still going out there and saying stuff. That's at least what the insider said to Matt Cole over the weekend. So that's more of what that was. I don't think he was a terrible teammate. I just think that there were a lot of circumstances that made his teammates upset because he wasn't paying attention. He wasn't reading the room well. He was just kind of like, oh yeah, I'm Russell Wilson and let's go. That's my understanding there. That's what I took from that. Either way, do I want him on the Steelers? No, that's bottom line. So that's my extent of the Russell Wilson talk I'll be giving this morning. But you're welcome to call in and give your opinions on any of this. 412-928-9370. That's the phone number. You can call me. You can also talk to me on X at @Callas_33. That's @Callas_33. I'm going to take a break here. When I come back, let's talk a little bit about the Penguins. Trade deadline coming up on Friday, and there are some moves they could make. Jake Guentzel headlines those moves. We can talk about him. We can talk about other moves that they might make and where their future is headed. Call me, 412-928-9370. Talk to me. We'll have a conversation about the Penguins and some other stuff as time allows. Coming up next here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. It's The Fan Early Morning Show. My name is Nicholas Harry Callis, and now time for some fan weather. It's brought to you by Sun Chevrolet in McMurray. Save some green in March at Sun Chevy or sunchevy.com. Today, high of 63, low 51. You can expect a 50% chance of rain throughout the day. It's going to be heavier early on, but that percentage chance will be reduced as the afternoon approaches. Then tomorrow, high of 62, low 45. Overcast skies expected. So I'm about out of time. I will say that I support a Jake Guentzel trade if they want to make one, and I think that the Penguins kind of understand that now too. That they're pretty much they're not going anywhere. Even though they won last night, it's not looking great. They've really got to overcompensate for the losses that they've had, and they're just not doing that. They had a 3-game winning streak, like I said earlier on in the week. I think last week, and then over this weekend they lost 3 in a row, so they kind of washed out a lot of the good that they did by accumulating a winning streak, and they lost to teams that they shouldn't have lost to, and that's pretty much the story here. So trade Guentzel, I don't have any indication. I'm not really feeling one way or the other right now of whether they actually will, but I think it would be beneficial for them to trade him and get some assets at this point and really start to break it down and get younger. Kyle Dubas said it himself a few weeks ago. He said, "I want to get younger. I wish I could retain the guys on the roster because we have a talented roster, but we got to get younger." And I think really he's going to put his foot in his mouth at this point, and he's got to make the team younger because what they've got right now isn't good enough